So please put your hands together for Steve Coppin.
Thank you, Pastor. Thank you, Pastor Steve. And just a privilege to come, be able to come and share what I feel that God's placed on my heart. And I just, we're doing a two-week series on just faith stories. But I want to just share before I start my message. You see this slide up on the screen. And this is really a faith story that's coming out of Liberia. Now, I've known about it for a little while, but until I saw some money actually start to come through, I sort of didn't share it. But I think it will be encouraging for any of you that are just trusting God for a situation to change or trusting God for you to God to provide something for you. So what we're looking at there is foundations of Pastor Collie's house. And I said to him when I saw the foundations, I said, I think it's bigger than mine, you know. So what actually happened was when we had the church building built in Fendall, which we didn't build, but a organization from America built that building. Well, they came over to do the dedication and opening of it. And they were blown away by what they saw, because they'd built churches in other places in Africa, and they've arrived there. There might be a wall not missing, roof not finished, and a lot smaller than what was established. I haven't got the picture of the church to show you now, but when they arrived there, it was all painted, it was plastered inside, completely finished. And they were blown away. They were in tears. This is what I've been told. They were in tears and just said, you've built this church. Anyway, as they were talking with Pastor Collie over the days, they said, well, where do you live? And he went and showed them where he was living. And they said, you live here and you built that church. Because what has happened for them is that they've sent money, and instead of all the money going to the actual project, it's gone to other people, gone either to the person that was building it or to other things that it wasn't really allocated for. So I have to admire Pastor Collie that he was steadfast. I know a couple of times he rang and said, "Oh, just pray that I don't fall into temptation or anything like that," but He really wanted to see God's house built, and anyway, to tie it up, they before this couple went over to Liberia, they met with a pastor in America, and the pastor in America said, "Look, I feel that God wants me to give $10,000. There's a pastor in Liberia that needs a house," and now that's a word of knowledge, Pastor Collie needs a house. Anyway, so when they were there, they said, someone's wanting to give what would $10,000 buy you, build you? And he said, oh, just a two-bedroom sort of a house sort of thing. And they said, no, build something big. We'll provide another $10,000. So it was going to be $20,000 to build this house. Now, the story sort of changes because they don't leave the $10,000 with him. And I was a little bit surprised with that because that had been given. And so the promise was there, but the actual funds hadn't come, any funds had come through. So, I prayed with Pastor Collie and just said, well, we're just going to pray that, what they commit to what they've said. I mean, if you say something that God has told you to do, you should actually follow through and commit to it. So anyway, they've sent some money through. Now, it was enough really to get the foundation down. And me being the man of faith that I was, because I was thinking maybe they might not send the other 10,000, and they might just send the 10,000 that they were given for this project. I said, well, maybe just build it for 10,000 and just make the other put a little bit of foundation, so if the other money comes on, you can expand on it. But he was adamant that God would provide. So, and I was thinking, man, I don't want to negate his faith. And I said, yeah, okay, well, I'll stand and believe with you. And even getting up to this place, he's had people from the church. That one guy gave him a whole lot of steel, and someone else gave him something else, that so he didn't actually have to purchase that. So it's a start. It's a faith project. It's just God's grace, because he's for the years that he's been pastoring, he's always wanted to put God first, his house first, and build God's church. And I just feel that God is just honoring him now. God knows that they need a house. They need to be out of the place that they're in at the moment by the end of the year. So anyway, we'll just trust God and just see what happens. But in the long run, I'll give you an update. But I just thought it would be encouraging. Sometimes we've got a faith project or a faith goal, or we're believing God for something, and yet we're not seeing any movement. We're not seeing any action. But God is working behind the scenes, and sometimes it's not how we think God's going to do it, because that's the trap. Sometimes we're believing God for something, and we've already dotted the I's and crossed the T's, and we know what we feel that how God is going to answer this problem. But sometimes God answers out of the box, and maybe later on I may share a little bit of my story as well. But anyway, thanks for that, David, and I'll get on to now the message. I just wanted to just encourage you and just share with you what's happening over there. And in a couple of weeks, I'll share a little bit more of a couple of the things that we're doing, doing. Okay, so the message that I've got this morning is that faith that pleases God. No, we all want to please God. I'm sure of that. I mean, I do. I really want to please God. And I'm just going to read a couple of scriptures and then just get into this message. We're going to be looking at a character in the Bible, and maybe by the title of that, the title of the message, it may give you an indication that who I'm going to talk about. So in Hebrews 11:6 it says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." And I'll come back to that verse a little bit later. So today I want to look at Enoch. So if we read in Genesis 5:18 to 24. When Jared had lived 162 years, he became the father of Enoch. And after he had become the father of Enoch, Jared lived 800 years and had other sons and daughters. And altogether, Jared lived a total of 962 years, and then he died. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. And I'll tell you what that means shortly. After he'd become the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked faithfully with God for 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enoch lived 365 years. Enoch walked faithfully with God. Then he was no more, because God took him. And in Hebrews 5, this is really the other scripture that we read about Enoch. There's about three places in the Bible where Enoch's mentioned, the Genesis, and then in Hebrews 5 where Enoch makes the hall of faith. It says, "By faith Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found, because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God." And the other time that he's mentioned was just in the book of Jude, where really God had given him a revelation about the end times. I see what I read it. It's a couple of scriptures in Jude that Enoch's mentioned. So really I want to look at what makes him so special. I mean, if Enoch was there and he pleased God, well, I want to please God as well. And maybe I can glean something from Enoch's life that I may be able to apply in my own life. You know, there was two lines of descendants that came from Adam. We know the story of Cain and Abel, how I might just get my Bible open just in case I get anything muddled. There's two lines that came, the two sons, Cain and Abel. And we know what happened. Cain murdered his brother because he didn't please the Lord, really, and he was jealous of his brother Abel, who brought a sacrifice before God that was pleasing before him. And so Cain went off and dwelt in the land of Nod, and there he had sons and daughters and married and everything like that, had wives. But his line was really built originally, I suppose, off murder, off jealousy. And if you actually read down that line, you get to a guy called Lamech, who said to his wives, Adiah and Zillah, "Hear my voice, wives of Lamech, listen to my speech. For I've killed a man for wounding me, even a young man for hurting me. If Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, then Lamech 77-fold." So there was this line was really, I suppose, built on a murderous type and, you know, jealous and all that. And clearly what we're seeing around the world today, if you want to look. And so with Enoch, he was from the line of Seth, who was Adam's second son. I think Eve said, what did Eve say? She said something. For God has appointed me another seed for instead of Abel, whom Cain had killed. So there was another line. And really that line, if you actually follow that line through, Noah's part of that line. Really, it's more faithful humility. There was more humility on that side and faithful people. Only three people mentioned in the Old Testament to have walked with God. That was Enoch, Noah, and Levi. Now, if we look at Enoch's life, the first 65 years of his life, it doesn't appear that he was walking with God. But after he was 65 years old, something changed. He had his first son. And I don't know whether this was God or what, but anyway, he named his son Methuselah, which means when he is dead, it shall come. So what Methuselah was really a walking witness to what was going to happen when he died, that the end would come. And what we see in Scripture, what happened was there was a flood. Because the wickedness was getting stronger and stronger and greater in that time, that God had to actually do something. But God was merciful as well, because if you look at the years between when Enoch was born to when the flood came, it was, you know, a few hundred years before that actually happened. What caused Enoch to start walking with God? And I suppose we could ask ourselves, what caused us to come to Jesus Christ? Was it that we were tired of the way we were living our life and we thought there was more? Was it because just a situation was really bad and really someone shared Jesus with you and you thought, well, this is who I need right now? But for whatever reason, it could have been it could have been that Enoch was starting to see the evil starting to get greater in the world around about him. And he could have thought, well, God, are you there? You know. Or the other thing could have happened was that he was Adam's great, 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 great grandson, and Adam was still alive. So maybe he could have gone up and spoken with Adam and said, "Oh, Adam, how did you walk with God? What did you do?" And Adam could have told him, "Well, I walked with God in the cool of the evening. You know, it was really good. It was such great fellowship I had with him. Everything was good until God gave me a woman." No. No. He could have heard from Adam, and Adam would have just filled him in on what he needed to do. And I could imagine Enoch, because there's no church, there's nothing happening, I don't think, of sacrifices or anything really happening. So what's he do? Just walk out in the field and says, "God, if you're there, speak to me." And maybe God just started to speak to him, just speculating, because there's nothing really said. But the thing is said is that he walked with him for 300 years. You know, sometimes we think just a day sometimes is fairly hard. But 300 years, and he walked with God. He didn't have the Word of God. He didn't have the outpouring of the Spirit. He didn't have a church to attend. He didn't have other believers to encourage him. But he walked with God. And he must have been a testimony to those around about him. It doesn't say that he led any others to the Lord, but his great-grandson, Noah, God used to build the ark and carry on his line. So Enoch's faith, you know, we can... I was... brought up in a word of faith type church, and was always really believing God for big things. You know, if I just had enough faith to believe God for this, or, you know, someone was believing God for a car, well, I'm going to believe God for a house. And these are all great things. But when I look at Enoch's life, how he made the Hall of Fame of Faith was that he had this testimony that he pleased God, that he walked with God. So our life of faith, it can be stripped back. It can be very simple. And that is just walking with God. That is seeking him. It says, going back to Hebrews 11 verse 6, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is." So if we come to God, we have to believe that he is. It's not like we know about him. We know that God's over there, or we know we've heard about it or something. When we come to God, we must believe that he is. And when we accept Christ, that's one thing we do. We believe that Christ came to this world, and died on the cross for you and me. That when I receive him, then I have access to the Father. So we must believe in him. If we believe in him, then the promise is that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. For many years, I was very much trying to please God by doing things, I suppose, to either elevate my faith or make me look like I've got more faith where I didn't really have it. And that would be, and a lot of the things I was doing weren't bad. They were good, I suppose, reading my Bible and praying and doing a lot of those sort of type things. But what I was trying to do was gain God's pleasure from doing those things, where really all I needed to do was come and sit with him and rest with him, just as we had this morning with that song. Just to come and rest in God. Just come and rest. Don't be striving for the things or looking for those faith goals. Commit them to God and leave them to him. So it's something about coming and resting and just allowing God to work through your life so that my life will glorify Him. You know, I've heard of people over the years that have said, oh, I believe God for this, and, you know, they've got a car, and praise God for that. I think, well, that's great, or I've believed God for this, and they're great testimonies to listen to and hear because they do stir your faith. But I think when you strip it back, it's when you've walked with God for a length of time and you haven't, even though you've been discouraged, you've continued to walk with God. You're not, you haven't sort of stopped coming to church, or you haven't stopped seeking God. Sometimes we don't understand why certain things happen. For myself, I became a Christian when I was about 26 years old, which is about 37 years ago now. And I was married. My wife is here today, and she doesn't know I was going to share this because I didn't know, but I think it just, and we became Christians together. But one thing we desired, and that was a child. And we'd been obviously been in the church for a little bit, and people said, oh, look, God, you know, just pray and just believe and trust God. And we could find the promises in the Bible. So we that's what we were doing, trusting God. But as time went on, it got harder and harder and more difficult. Probably affected Angela more than it affected me, but it was an ongoing thing. But God, and I really believed, and you know, that God would provide us a child. But as I said, sometimes the way that God works isn't the way that we work ourselves. Isn't the way that we want Him to work. So after 17 years of trials and tribulations, no, it wasn't. It was difficult, but God was good through that process. But 17 years later, we were in China and we adopted a little baby girl. And God opened that way and made that way possible for us. It didn't happen as quickly as we'd hoped. It didn't happen how we hoped. But my daughter's here today and she's just been a real blessing to us. She's been a real blessing to us. So, you know, the walk of faith doesn't have to be hard. It's coming to God and resting with Him and allowing God into your life. I wrote, faith's not a run, it's a walk. You know, if you're running, you're puffing and you can't communicate with God when you're doing that. So Enoch's faith was a simple faith to do the will of God, overcome the worldly culture around him. We can do the same. It's the small things that make a difference. You know, how we conduct ourselves in our work environment. Are we positive in our work environment, or are we gossiping with the others that are gossiping? Are we running down the bosses? These are all things that we should be showing our faith in Christ or in God, is that we should be able to show that in our work. So, see, with Enoch, he did, for the 300 years, he didn't become a hermit. He didn't get away and live in a cave and you know, because of the wickedness around the world that was around him. He lived in the culture. He had sons and daughters. But there was something different that set him apart from his neighbors. He diligently sought God. God blessed him with sons and daughters. revelation about the future. That was Jude 1, 14 and 15, if you want to look at that. And then one day, God says to Enoch, how would you like to come up here and be with me? How would you like to come up here and be with me? Wonder how Enoch responded. Oh, I sure would. Love to. I can imagine, you know, because Enoch's this guy that would have been walking with God all the 300 years. Oh, that's Enoch. He's talking to himself or he's talking to his God. But God came and took him, or you could say raptured him away. And, you know, in the times we're living in, we need to keep our eyes on Christ, keep our eyes lifted up. You know, we're living in similar days to, I believe, what Enoch was walking then. So our lives should reflect Christ in us. And I'll just close with these couple of sentences, time's gone. My faith in God will influence my practices. So they should influence what I do. And it will either convert sinners or condemn them. And this isn't my quote, but I just read this and I thought it was really good. But the way of life, well-pleasing life in the eyes of God, is humble faith and a joyful seeking after God himself. Those who seek will not only please God in this life, but they will enjoy the greatest pleasure of all, the pleasure of walking with God. I just want to pray and then we're going to sing and yeah. Father, I just thank you, Lord. Father, I just thank you for your word. I just thank you that you love us so much. And I just thank you, Lord, that for your plan and your purpose for our lives, Lord God. Lord, that we want to seek you, Lord. That, Lord, our desire, Lord, is to please you. Our desire, Lord, is to walk with you, Lord. And so, Father, we just, Lord, I just pray for each one here this morning, Lord. And Lord, I just pray, Father, just that you would, Lord, just touch them, Lord, that you would bring encouragement. You know, there's some I feel this morning that you're just struggling even in your faith walk. And I just feel that God really just wants to encourage you this morning. So, as we just worship with the song, I'd just love you to come up to the front because I just want to pray for you. And anyone else that may just feel they need some prayer this morning, there's others here that will be able to come and pray. But just as we sing this song, Cornerstone, he is our cornerstone.